Okay, and now David Kaye is going to introduce tonight's speaker.
Hi, my name's David. I'm a really grateful member of Al-Anon. I'm humbled that actually somebody would drive further than I do to come to our meeting. Our speaker tonight is from the mean streets of Newport Beach. Let's give a warm 7 o'clock Let's Rock welcome to Jason.
My name is Jason. And I'm delighted to be here. Can you guys hear me in the back? Because someone came up to me and said I needed to really talk really loud. Right?
Yeah.
We're good? Okay. This group is great. You can bring cats here. I have an Alley cat. I want to bring him. He's fun. His name is Mr. Cat. I couldn't commit to a name, so I called him Mr. Cat. We'll talk about that later. Or in therapy. No, Al-Anon has been, is, and the greatest thing that happens to me on a daily basis. It is an amazing program. I absolutely love it. I want to warn you before I start, to all you pure Al-Anons, I am a recovered alcoholic. Just letting you know, don't freak out. If you have a problem, you can write about it or talk to your sponsor. That's just he knew that talking to me, David over there. But I want to thank you for allowing me to come up here and speak and asking me. He's a great man. He's a really When I first met him a couple years ago at my home group, our men's stag down in South Laguna, you know, he just has this aura about him. And I noticed that today about people due to the 12 steps in Al-Anon, and that's a fact. I'm present today most of the time.
Most.
And that's a gift. That's a gift of this program, and I want to thank you, David, for being a part of my recovery in this program. And welcome, everybody. Welcome the newcomers. I'm glad you're here. I hope you stay. And I want to congratulate the birthday people who took the birthday cakes. We don't give out chips here. I know that you can't. Well, you can, but you just walk outside and get around people and you'll slip. So this I left at 3 to get here, which is a great, I don't care, because you go to any lengths, right? Any lengths. Because I know the power of this program and the message that it has, you know, that God of my understanding speaks through me to you guys. And if you guys get in some, take what you want and leave the rest, you know, and you know, I came from an alcoholic home. Well, there you go. Go figure. And I have my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather is Robert Burns, the Scottish poet, who died at 37 of alcoholism. And I've been affected by his drinking. So generations, I should have been this, like, I had no chance, right? Like, our family tree has, like, beer bottles and chips hanging off. There's no leaves. There is no leaves. I mean, I should have been out of the chute, not into an incubator, right into Al-Anon. But I didn't. I got here at the age of 36. You know, this thing's low. There's a pill for that. They make a pill for that. This is a good group, thank God. I've spoken. Sometimes they're just sitting there, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be a long hour. So, you know, I've been affected by alcoholism. And I will be affected by alcoholism my entire life. The degree of that effect on me is absolutely related to how much I'm doing in my recovery. That's a fact. And I learned that from you guys. And you know, I have a sponsor. His name is Tom Nolan. His sponsor is Lynn Wilder from South Laguna. My home group is a men's stag down in South Laguna. It meets on Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. And I love it. It's a great group of men. And you guys, they taught me what it's like to be a man, to be a real man. And I'm grateful for that because I didn't have the worst childhood I certainly had the longest one though. it's true. You know, my earliest memory of my father was him drop kicking our golden retriever off the porch because that's what you get when you dig up the flowers. And the earliest memory of my mom was running over to him. And every day he'd come home from work, he'd have a drink, and he would shake the ice, and she'd come over with his VO and while he's watching Star Trek in the late 70s. And I remember her doing that. And, you know, that household was kind of what I grew up in, you know. And I remember the fighting as a young boy. I don't remember really before the age of 6, but around 7, I kind of started realizing what was going on. And I remember being extremely anxious all the time. and really just full of fear. And that home environment, not all the time, but my memory of it was one of a lot of chaos and a lot of confusion and a lot of anxiety and a lot of fear and a lot of fighting. And I didn't know what to do with that. And I shut down. I kind of just hit. I went into my room a lot. And I related to a lot of what the birthday people shared. You know, I related to everything that they shared. I must be in the right place, thank God. And I remember as a young boy, my being full of fear and insecure and anxiety ridden. And I remember my mom would vacuum rooms and we couldn't step on the lines. You know, we had to jump over them sometimes. And that kind of, you know, all this stuff that I think back, and I didn't really notice it until I got into that Blueprint Guide to Progress. You know, when I got in the Steps of Al-Anon, you know, I've been my sobriety date in AA is June 2nd, 2001. And I'm not here to talk about my recovery from that, from alcohol. I'm here to talk about my recovery from another person's drinking. But that has something to do with my story in order for it to make sense to me. You know, as a young boy, like I said, I had a talent. I'm an artist and a designer my whole life, and I would go in my room and I would draw. I would just draw, and that was my first escape, and my first obsession of choice. Was not only that, but was your approval. I was desperately trying to measure up and to be a part of and to seek your approval, and that was my first addiction of choice was your approval, And I desperately tried to fit in. And if I wasn't seeking your approval, I was desperately trying to seek your disapproval, which was just two sides of the same coin. And I did, I was really good at that. You'll hear a little bit of it later. Not a lot, but just a little bit. You know, my head solution at the time when I grew up in that environment as a young boy was to shut down and go in my room and to build a wall around me to protect me. So that wall got thicker and thicker and thicker with time. And as I journeyed through my early childhood, my mom was, you know, you couldn't see on the outside, really. It looked like a normal boy. But at the inside where I lived, I was just a big cauldron of fear and insecurity and anxiety. And I remember as a kid, I remember this vividly. I remember I held onto my tongue for like a week because I was afraid that I was going to swallow it. I have no idea why I did that. And my dad actually had to sit me down and tell me how that was impossible to do. But the look on his face was like, what's wrong with you? And it just deepened that shame for me of who and what I was. I felt even more less than and not good enough, like there was something wrong with me. That I was built wrong. And that was the shame of who and what I was. And that's the first time it came over me kind of like a warm blanket. And then, you know, my mom really tried to get me into sports and stuff. And I didn't like sports. They involved other people. And they just did the same damn thing over again. And they wore the same thing. It was just, I didn't like it. Like, so when I went to baseball, I'd sit at the plate and I'd just stand there. And the balls would fly by, and I'd just go, I just want to sit down, man. I don't want to do this. And then after before the practice, I'd get a couple other knuckleheads, and we tried to tunnel under the snack bar to steal all the candy, but I ruptured a pipe, and it flooded the entire place. My mom, she doesn't even remember that, but I just said, wow, who did that? No one ever knew, but they didn't have cameras back then. It was great. Great time to be a kid, and in the 80s. You know, so since she tried to put me in soccer, and I would just leave, and I wouldn't want to do it. And she finally asked me, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to draw. I just like drawing. And so she threw me in a bunch of classes with a bunch of old ladies with purple hair. They would paint like lighthouses, right? And so I'm painting lighthouses, and I'm like, this is really boring, and just put them on fire. So I started putting them on fire. And then the teacher was like, you can't do that. And then again, looked at me like that dad and said, you're doing it wrong. And again, I felt like ashamed of who, and like, I must be broken, there's something wrong with me. And these are just little snapshots to give you an idea of what that environment, how I grew up in, and not only with the environment, but just for me as I felt as a young boy. And then, meanwhile, my dad separated, divorced my mom, and then found through a cocktail waitress that he had at a bar on the way home from work, and then decided to marry her. And then my mom married another guy, but it was the same guy with just different shoes on. You know, he was a little better, but he was into rage and drinking, so that was always fun. Whenever I would leave my shoes out, he would like to hide them from me instead of just telling me to put them away. And so he was a lot of this passive aggressiveness. If it was bill month, like you'd pay the bill, like back in the 80s, they would do like this bill month, and he would pay all the bills, and papers would be flying out of the office because he was so pissed off. And I would just go to the room and just hide. And so that this stress just over, it was just killing me. And then as I got to become a teenager, then I found booze. And this is kind of this part where that piece comes in, and it just opened my life up. It just shut my head off, and I could be a part of, and it did all the stuff that we talk about in the other program that you've probably heard if you've gone. And you know, and I'm trying to figure out how much I can talk about. Well, you know, what booze did, I was just this anxiety-ridden guy that kind of had that little element added into it, and then it just opened me up, and it quieted the head down. And you know what, after the years of doing that and ending up hanging out with very strange people and being around doing strange things and ending up in strange places with bars on them. See how I'm kind of skating around here? This is the part of Al-Anon where you just kind of go, wow, what do they want to hear and what you're allowed to do? But it was actually just compounding the problem and delaying what was going on with me. And then I went, at the age of 26, I found the courage to change. And, you know, I ended up, I was the type that would function pretty much, kind of. I had a degree in college, a few degrees, and in art and stuff. And I mean, being an artist, you can drink. I mean, that's what they do, right? And I mean, give me a break. So it wasn't that hard to do that. And before then, like through all that time, I worked in bars. I worked in places that you can do stuff like that. And in actuality, when I left home at the age of about 18, I couldn't wait to get out of that environment. Like that was like, I was like a horse out of like a chute at Belmont, right? Like I just had to get out of there. These people are insane. This isn't crazy, but I'm gonna go out, I'm gonna make my own home, and none of that's gonna be a part of it. And that turned out not to be the truth because that crazy home I brought right with me. Every relationship I've ever been in wouldn't feel comfortable before recovery in Al-Anon, wouldn't feel comfortable without all that crazy chaos. And if I didn't find the chaos in usually the women I dated, which were alcoholics, of course, or addicts of some sort, go figure, another qualifier for me to be here, is as I would create it, you know, and I set my life up with that wall around me. I had no kids, I have never been married, never been engaged. But the longest relationship before Al-Anon was literally in days. And I liked it that way. You know, I set it up that way. But I was always wondering, and I was blaming people because I didn't know I set it up that way until I got in here. But I was always blaming them for leaving, when in actuality, it was my character defects pushing them away. And I didn't know that until I got into Al-Anon. And so, you know, fast forward to when I found the courage to change at 26. I you know, AA, I always say AA saved my life, but Al-Anon changed it. Al-Anon has changed my approach to that life, and I love that. AA treated my addiction, but Al-Anon treats my disease. my dis-ease that they talked about. You know, that, you know, I was born with the ism. Alcohol's added, my disease is complete. I still have that ism today. The ism I look at in the mirror every day, that dis-ease is always with me, but so is my recovery. My recovery is always with me. And but the dis-ease in me is kind of like a, it's self-supporting through its own contributions. It doesn't need me to tend to it, but I tend to it often by my worry, my obsessions, my fears, my anxieties, and all the stuff that we talk about in these rooms feed that ism. And then I get tighter and tighter and tighter. And I didn't know any of that until I really got into the 12 steps through this focus of Al-Anon. And, you know, so I was 26 years old and I had $2.50 in my name. And I just got out of jail once again. And I went into the rooms of AA and they saved my life. And they showed me how to, a program of living. And I didn't know how to really pay, I knew how to pay bills, I just didn't want to. I didn't know, I mean, I was like, I didn't know really, I didn't know, I was like a man boy. That's really all I could describe it. And just big man boy at 26 years old. And you know, those men in those rooms showed me a love that I could not show myself at the time. And I'm grateful for that. And you know, after that period in there, you know, things got better on the outside, you know? You know, AA's great. You stop drinking, a lot of stuff goes away. A lot of stuff gets better real quick, you know? On the outside, you know, I held down a job for a period, you know, like I got my career started. Life really started to open up. And I slowly started to see myself shut down. The ism was there once again. And I went through the 12 steps through a different program. And it got me kind of righted in a way. Because I've always felt like I was off, like I was standing off, like I was off center. Even as that young boy, I felt like an off. But then these steps in here have allowed me to, has showed me to stand on my two feet and be balanced. And I didn't know that could be possible. And then, so anyways, that family, you know, the dad that married the cocktail waitress, you know, they remain together to this day. You know, he's a practicing alcoholic. Like I said, everybody in my family's an alcoholic. And I was afraid of that guy from day one, like I told you earlier. And the steps through that through AA didn't really get to that part. You know, for me, Al-Anon is about relationships. And relationships with the one relationship I missed and didn't treat and didn't tend to was the one with me. And it showed me how to have a relationship with me. Because I'm the guy I have to live with 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. For an average white man in America is 78.3 years. I looked it up. It's crazy. What about when you get to 78? Is it like 3 days? Or is it like 3 months? Like, when am I gonna get there? I'll be like, wow, I got like 3 days left, 3 weeks, 3 months, what is it? I don't know what that three is, but we'll find out, hopefully. But I got done with this guy. I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know how to, I was so focused on everybody and everything on the outside, I never bothered to really tend to what's going on the inside. It touched on it in AA, but it didn't go deep enough for me. Some people, it works great, that's fine. I have friends that just do that program and that's amazing, good for them. But for this guy, I'm a really sick one, I guess. I don't know, maybe I'm worse off than them, but I need Al-Anon like all the time, like 100%. AA is great, I still go, 100%, it's awesome, but I get fed really well from you guys in these rooms, 100%, and I love that. And that's just my truth, you know? I can only share what's true for me. But, you know, so I got into the, you know, that four step, and I really saw who and what I was. I was immature, and I was insecure, and I was irresponsible. I was irresponsible not because I was, like, not showing up to work, I was irresponsible because I was allowing other people, not allowing other people, the consequences of their own actions. That's how I was irresponsible. I was over-responsible, so to speak. You know, paying for my bills for my mom because she moved every couple years, and I just say, send me the bill, send me the bill. I was making a really good money at the time, and I just say, send me the bill. And I would, that's how I showed love to her. But then I would go to my friends and bitch about how much of a, you know what, she is. That's not love. That wasn't, but I thought that was, because that's what I saw, and that's what I taught myself, and that's what I chose at the time to think of what love was. So I was immature, I was insecure, and I was irresponsible. I was a liar, because I would lie to cover up for people all the time. I didn't know that. I thought lying was like just lying, right? Whatever that is. I would just say, I'm not lying. But then I would cover up for people all the time. And I was a thief, not because I was stealing stuff from stores, because I would steal people's time with all my problems. I would just fire hose my problems on anybody that would just listen. They would just, here comes my problems. Like, how are you doing is like a social nicety. I thought it was like an invite to tell you about all the stuff that's going on with my family, number one, because it was really all about them. And then my girlfriends, how much of a nightmare they were, right? I mean, who's picking them? And then all my friends, all the friends, and all the people I chose to love, I complained about constantly, 100%, all the time. And I got around people that did the same thing, so we co-signed each other's BS. It was a nightmare, but I was stuck in it, didn't even see it. So I was irresponsible, immature, insecure, a liar and a thief, and I was a cheat because I was always looking for the shortcut in life. What's the shortcut? What can I don't want to do any of the work, I just want to get the result that he has. So I cheated myself more than anything by being a cheat. So I was that, insecure, immature, irresponsible, liar, cheat, and thief. And on top of all that, I was a user and abuser of people, places, and things. And I had a tendency to complain. Now, that was me in a nutshell. Like, that was just in, like, the first couple chapters of the blueprint. Right? So I'm like, this is amazing, right? Do you have any rope? That's who and what I was. And so the good news about that is that I could change this guy. You know, so I lived about 10 years in recovery, basically the same guy without a beer in his hand, but selectively living, like just selectively putting that God of my understanding, so to speak, and letting him do, so, like kind of like living like it's, he's okay over here, but not over there. But he can help me here, but not here. So I was like compartmentalizing that God of my understanding. So when I got into Al-Anon and started going through these steps, that's what I just said about who and what I was. That's how I found out. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, I thought I was in recovery here, right? And my sponsor's like, no, no. In a loving way, of course. But it like, to back up real quick, this is a funny one. So at 10 years of sobriety kind of, and I got my friend Mike, and who goes to our home group sometimes, I was talking to him about, you know, the complaining and just out of my mind, and related to a lot of what the birthday people shared about, like how I was like suicidal thoughts, I was physically ill from all the worry and anxiety that was just, I was just ready to explode. The fact that I didn't drink was a miracle, but I was just a mess. I got sober at 26, but at 36, when I got into Al-Anon, I was probably way emotionally worse than when I got sober. And then that ism was just on me like a cheap suit. And I was talking to him, and he goes, hey, it's time to turn yourself into Al-Anon. And I go, oh my God. Oh my God, like this is really bad, right? Like I just did 10 years of AA, like going to meetings, working with the guys which aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, right? Like the sponsees, weren't living their sobriety the way I think they should. I was firing guys like crazy. The three strikes, you're out. I mean, it was just insane. I was amazingly not the greatest, but hey, but you know what? I was doing what I was told. And my part in that was I never questioned it. I just followed the orders. And I was like a little sheep. And again, I cheated myself because I didn't want to be responsible. Give me, lend me, can I borrow, do for me, help me out, can I get? It really was, I mean, this ism is so subtle because it was like all over me and I couldn't see it. It was like a wall full of ivy. And it just slowly grows, and pretty soon that wall is just gone and engulfed by it. So, the guy said, you need to turn yourself into Al-Anon. I had a nervous breakdown. And then the next week, we went in his car, we drive down there. So he drove me down there like for the first 6 months of that men's day. And the first, because of AA, I got a sponsor really fast, because I knew that's what you do. Like, get a sponsor, work steps, we're going to get well, this is going to be great, we're going to have a great life. But it doesn't really work like that in Al-Anon. A little slower. You know, I was really like, can you just inject me with whatever you want, you know, whatever it is? I need to get well like now. My life is a mess. I had a great job making a great, you know, six-figure income with my Alicat and no furniture. And no woman wanted to be around this guy for any period of time other than a few hours. But we'll talk about that in therapy. So there was no way that was even gonna happen. I mean, no one wanted, no. That was a disaster wrapped in like a horror movie by the way I behaved. My behavior was horrible. And so I had the Alicat, great money, no furniture except for a bed, because I set up everything in my life that way, because I needed to get out quick. And but I'd tell you that I just moved in. I was in that place for like 4 years. I'm all looking for like the head boxes and oh, I'm just getting ready to move, you know. Okay, it's kind of weird. So we would go down there and I heard my sponsor speak. And he shared on the first meeting I went to, and I couldn't believe the man lived how he shared. And he had a sense of calm over him, and he looked me in the eye, and he had a sense of peace that I wanted. I wanted what he had. And I felt a connection right away with him, but it took me 4 times of those meetings to actually ask him, because I was afraid, full of fear, insecure, immature, all that stuff. And he goes, I finally asked him, he goes, absolutely. I mean, just a loving man. And he was sharing my story, and I couldn't believe it, that he had the same amount of time in the other program, and not the same story, but the same feelings. And that's how this thing works, man. I mean, it's so crazy. Like, I wanted to run over and jump in the guy's lap, man. Like, can you just take me home? I'm out of my mind. And, you know, he said, I bet you feel like life's doing this to you. And he goes, I'm going to teach you how to do this. And I go, man, it gives me chills to this day, because I was like, I need to know how to do that. I need to know how to do like the Matrix. Like when those alcoholics, you know, like alcoholic, it says like on the brand literature rack in here, oh, there isn't one, but it says, oh, there it is. It says, someone else is drinking bother you? And I just sit next to it with my friend and cover up drinking and put, does someone else bother you? Because the drinking, who cares about the drinking? I mean, they're a mess. Anybody, the person holding the door open at the bank, the teller, the grocery clerk, they were all pissing me off. I hated everybody and everything because I hated the guy in the mirror. It had nothing to do with them. Nothing to do with them. But I didn't know that. And he said, I'm gonna teach you how to do that. Like those, they throw zing, like life's gonna throw those, like you've ever seen The Matrix, and it slows down, those bullets are coming by, and then Keanu Reeves is doing this. And that's how I'm doing that with life today. Like when I get around my parents or friends or even, you know, girlfriend, whatever it is, and they are just being them, I can move around those zingers most of the time. I call them zingers because they look like, it's like zing, there goes that one. Sometimes they stick in me, but now I know how to unhook them and throw them on the ground. And that's what the steps and the actions I've learned in here, that's what it's done for me. And that's how I do it. I like it. And I got a sponsor that said, you know, I met with him. He said, okay, now do steps 1, 2, and 3 and do hell, this little stuff to do and get the green and white book, and I get the courage to change. I'm like, man, there's a lot of stuff in this program. We only have the big book, man. Like, we have the 12 and 12, like, little crazy, you know, it's great, dude, great. But this literature in here is unbelievable. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I walked into Al-Anon, it was like I breathed oxygen for the first time. I was like, I've been missing this my entire life. And I just grabbed that book, that green, the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, grabbed The Courage to Change, started reading that thing every day, which I still do, which is an amazing read. And if I like it, I even take a picture of it. Because there's pages on there I go, man, I really want to share that with someone. And he said, you know, my sponsor taught me all this. He goes, if you like it, take a photo of it and send it to a friend. He goes, what if they don't want it? He goes, then they can decide to delete it. It doesn't matter. They're none of your business. That's all he says. Like, did we forget that other people are none of your business? I'm like, that sounds so mean, Tom. It's mean, right? But it's true. It's true. You know, my friend Lynn Wilder, he's got 52 years of sobriety, 29 of them in Al-Anon. And he says, Jason, whatever's in this chair is your business with God's help, and whatever's outside that chair is none of your business. And I go, well, that's easy for you to say. You got 52 years and 29 of them in Al-Anon. He's like, no, it's a one day at a time thing. Sometimes 1 minute at a time. So, you know, that guy, Tom, I met with him. I did my first 3 steps, and he goes, you know, I hear you're an artist. And I go, yeah. And we're in some crazy weird, we're in some weird house up in Laguna. I mean, it took me like 45 minutes to get there. I'm like sweating bullets. I'm like, oh, this is better be worth it, right? The guys in my head are like, you are an idiot. Look what you got us into now. You don't even know where you're going. So I'm driving there, and I get there, and he goes, well, I heard you're an artist, and you know, I want to let you know that I am too. I'm like, oh. I'm like thinking, great. What do you paint, like flowers in a jar or something? You know, just completely judge it. I didn't say that, but like the guys in my head did, right? And he goes, I paint with word pictures. And I go, oh my God, here we go again, right? And my guys in my head go, you dummy. Look what you got us into again with this weirdo who paints with weird word pictures. What the hell does that mean? But then he painted one for me. And it's weird, it's so rad how God works, the God of my understanding. He puts me around people that I need, and I don't even know it at the time. You know, he just, it's, I can't explain it, but that man I needed. And God, that God of my understanding, I'm just gonna call him God, I keep saying my understanding, it's God for me. God just goes, you know, Jason likes to think in visuals, let's just give him a guy that can do that, but in recovery. Right? That's great. And it worked. You know, and he did all these word pictures for me, and like the life is hitting me, and I did this and the Matrix thing, and I'm like, I started to click with me. I needed that click, and I got it in my life. I didn't have that for years. You know, I was off. My footing was off for so long, and then I finally could stand on my own 2 feet as a man. And that was a big deal for a guy like me. Who was that insecure, immature, irresponsible liar, cheat, and a thief, and a user and abuser of people, places, and things, who complained all the time and full of fear. And he slowly started to go through that blueprint guide to progress. And that was the nicest thing I ever did for myself, 100%. Because I got to see who and what I was, really. And the good news is that I can change me. And you guys taught me that I can change me. I don't need to... I just need to leave those alcoholics, I'll just leave them alone. Leave them alone. Put your hands to yourself and leave them alone. And he's all, we first get to Al-Anon, we learn how to never miss an opportunity to just shut your mouth. I've missed a lot. That's okay though, because he's all, perfection's not the point here. You know, you've been a human doer your whole life, doing. I prided myself on what I did. I've had blessed with success in my as a career as an artist and designer, and I used that as what and who and what I was, you know, that's who and what I was, and because I got a lot of accolades from that, I got a lot of attention. You guys accepted me, and I got to see that I'm more than that. That's just a little piece of me, and he showed me. Oh, I love that we could bring cats here. I want to come back so bad. I'm not going to drive 4 hours though. But that's amazing. I love it. But he showed me that I'm more than that. And that blueprint took me a long time. It took me over a year to do. I would meet at his house, and that was me going to his house twice a week, because some of them I had to do it. I couldn't get through the whole thing because I was, he's all, you were just so kind of, no, he didn't say messed up, but it was like, he's all, the belt took a while to get on the wheel. I'm like, yeah, you think? That was a disaster, man. Like, look at me. But he's all, I never had a guy that did it as enthusiastically as you. And that, because I just, once I got in here, it just, I took it to like a duck to water. And, you know, I absolutely love what this program's done for me and continues to do for me, you know? And I found this loving God of my understanding through the 12 steps of not only AA, but reinforced that loving God through Al-Anon steps, because it cleared more of me away in order for that higher power, that God, to come and show itself to me, you know? And I threw away the damning God that we found out that I developed over the years, that God that lives on a cloud that's wears a big long beard and he's writing down every terrible thing I've done. And that's not the God that I want. You know, and he goes, well, you can pick one. What do you want? What God do you want? And I go, well, he's all, well, think about it. You don't have to tell, you don't have to figure it out right now. And I go, well, I could think about that. And he goes, yeah. And more will be revealed as we do this. And I picked a loving God. A loving God, the God that loves me no matter what. And he works a perfect Al-Anon program. He has to with all his alcoholic children in the world, right? He does. He certainly allowed this guy the consequences of his actions, that's for sure, over the years. But, you know, he's got some rules, though. He's like a business partner. He owns 51% of my business. He has final say. He's like the super sponsor. And, He doesn't like it when I dwell on the past and get in fear, but he'll patiently wait for me to go to him and ask for help. And he doesn't allow me to see around corners in my life and doesn't allow me to see in the future. And if he wore a wristwatch, it would say now. And he's only in the now. And I didn't know that until I got present in Al-Anon. And I finally took the focus off of them, all the boozers and all the parents and all them, and put it onto someone who I can truly change, which is me. Just as in AA and the alcoholic, the booze is but a symptom. Page 19 of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, quitting drinking was but a beginning. The booze was a symptom of the disease. But my disease and Al-Anonism, when I'm focused on everybody and everything and what they're doing or not doing and trying to straighten out the world and trying to prove that I'm right and you're wrong, that's a symptom of mine. That I've lost my focus, I've lost my footing, that I'm back to that uneasy boy again. But I have tools now that man, Tom, showed me. And you guys showed me through your shares and sharing your experience, strength, and hope with me that have allowed me to sit comfortably with Jason. Because the first 7 steps are about getting comfortable with me. 8, 9, and 10 get me comfortable with you. And 11 and 12 get me comfortable with that God. And I love that. And, you know, so God and I are buddies today. He goes with me wherever I go. I found him the last place I'd ever think to look, in the center of me. I never knew that, because if he is everything, then I am part of him and he is a part of me. I thought he was in you. I could see God in you, but there's no way that he would be in this piece of crap. But I had to learn through the steps again in this program that I have worth. I measure up today. I am not less than. That was all a lie that my dis-ease told me and continues to do that to me on a daily basis. To a degree, its grip has lessened on me, but it's still there. It's like I have a dis-ease that's always chasing me. I just don't know how far behind me it is, so I have to stay ahead of it. So I go to meetings all the time. I love meetings, both programs. I speak as often as I can, and I listen as often and more than I speak. Try to, at least, because you guys taught me that listening's more important. And, you know, I work steps with guys. I'm proud to be called a sponsor today. And that's amazing, from that disaster I came in with to taking, you know, I have 5 guys right now, and that's my limit for me. And that's okay to have a balance and say no. You guys taught me how to say no, but in a loving way. And no's a complete sentence. I just can't do it. No. Not even, he's always, don't even put an I'm sorry at the end of it. Why are you sorry? Just know. You know, and these little tiny things that you guys have taught me have allowed me, again, to be on my feet, like steady. You know, my my friend Lynn has he's got all that time, and he was friends with Lois Wilson, one of our co-founders of a program, and Bill, in fact, too. But when Bill passed, he remained friends with Lois. And they were on a flight one day, and he said, "Lois, what do we need to take away from our programs that you think is the most important thing to know?" And Lois said, "I'm going to have to get back to you on that." And he goes, "Okay." So a week later, he gets a phone call. And this was a few years before she passed. And he says, and she goes, "You know, Lynn, I have the answer for you." And he goes, "What is it?" And he goes, she goes, "It's learning how to let go." You know, I learned that we learn how to let go in so many ways. Going to meetings, working with sponsees, taking commitments, reading literature, working steps. For me, that's how I've learned to let go. Take my focus off of them, off of the problem, and put it onto the solution. You know, and God's always, and the steps, the solution's always in the steps, and I have that loving God I go to all the time, not just in the morning and at night. I go to him throughout the day, because I get caught up with the zingers and all the stuff that happens through me and all those burdens I carry. If I carry that, then I'm no use to anybody or to myself. So I have to cast the burden onto that God, and he relieves me of that so that I can be present. And that's just a gift for me. And not only do we learn how to let go and let God, is that I've made amends through these steps with my father and my family. You know, I've gone to them. My father lives in Oklahoma with his wife on a beautiful lake out there, and I went out there a few years ago to do an amends to him. And I was afraid of that man my whole life. And I needed to make an amends to him about what my part was. And so my sponsor and I sat down, and we made a good list of, and wrote like what the amends was, what my part was, and more importantly, why I did that, so I can get intimate and honest with him and vulnerable. And I never wanted to do that, because I was always afraid. So I took a flight out there to Oklahoma, which is the longest flight of my life, and I had that letter all folded up in my pocket. I read it like 100 times. I didn't even need to bring it out when I sat with him, but I remember being in that living room, and he was in the den, and I go, "I'm not going to do it. There's no way I'm going in there." And I'm like, "Wait a minute. You've done a lot of work to get to this point. You've gone through the blueprint. You're now in step 9. You've done some amends. You're going to do this because you spent $500 to get out here." And that guy in my head said, "We'll be damned if we're not going to do this again. It's a lot of money." So anyways, I went in that den and I sat with that man, and he turned off the TV, and I said, "I got to talk to you." And I pulled out, I didn't have to pull out the letter because I already had it memorized. And I sat down with him, and I said, you know, I made that amends to him. And I just bawled. I just started crying like crazy. And he just sat there and looked at me. And he said, "You must feel really good now after it was over." And I said, "I do. I absolutely do." And he goes, "You know, I've never said this, but I'm, out of all the children, I'm most proud of you." And that was a big deal. Because I feared that man. I hated him. And I covered it with hate. I covered my whole body with hate. And then it was gone. You know, I let go. And that was like, geez, that must have been 12 years into recovery. A few years in Al-Anon, you know. And that relationship isn't the greatest today. And it's okay. But, you know, it's real. And I'm not expecting him to be someone that he can't be. Because I expected him to be someone that he can't. You know, he's got the same disease as me. And you guys told me how to be empathetic to him. And be loving to him, but have boundaries. And And I love that, that I can be okay with that. You know, if that man were to die today, I'd be okay. My side of the street is clean, we are okay. I see him eye to eye, not like he's up on a cloud somewhere and I'm way down below. And that's good, and I'm okay with that. You know, this program affects, its recovery is so vast that it has effect on generations that aren't even born yet. That's how powerful this is. You know, if I choose to have children, I won't do it perfectly, but I'll definitely have broken the cycle. And what a gift that would be to him or her to not have me over them like some warden. You're not doing it right. You know, I could just totally see myself doing that, but I have tools to catch all that now, you know, and I don't do it perfectly. You know, I'm not a walk in the park and in a relationship with a woman, but I'm a good man. I'm a good man because of those 12 steps and the traditions are in those relationships, and they definitely last longer than days now. I just got out of one of a few years. I'm like, oh my God, I was over and she was all bummed. I'm like, this is great. Are you kidding me? It's been 2 years. I'm gonna have a fucking party. No, I didn't do that. No, I didn't goof on her. I knew where I ended and she began. I didn't know that before I got into Al-Anon. I know where I end and she began, and I knew how to stand up for myself and say what I meant what I said and don't say it mean. I can tell her how I feel instead of what I think. What you do makes me feel, and then fill in the blank. So I can allow her to be herself. I'm not asking her to do anything, I'm just showing her what the consequences of her actions do to me on the inside. Instead of telling her how I think, and trust me, how I think about when women do that to me is not good. But now I have some pause now where I can go, hey, when you do that, it just makes me feel like this, you know? And that's a big deal for a guy that used to just walk out the door with the middle finger behind his back. I mean, get the hell out of here, who cares? Just get another one. But, you know, I sobered up, I cleaned up, and in Al-Anon, I learned how to grow up and how to mature. And mature, you guys matured me up, you know? And it's just amazing the freedom I've gotten. I experienced the second miracle of my recovery is freedom. Freedom from all the things that used to hold me back for so many years, you know? And I just want to say that, is it 8:25? We're cool? You guys have been a great crowd, and I really, really enjoy my recovery. And Dr. Paul is one of my favorite speakers, and I know he did Al-Anon, and him and Max, and I listen to him, and I love him. And he says, if you're not enjoying your recovery, you're doing it wrong. I like that. If you're not enjoying your relationships, you're doing them wrong. And it's not meaning that it's your fault. It means that what's your part? What can you change to become different in the relationship, not just the he and she and type, in any relationship? And if you're not enjoying this life, you're living it wrong. So if you're new or used, this is the greatest gift that ever has happened to me, and I love Al-Anon, and I love you guys. Thanks for letting me share.
Let's thank our speaker, Jason, once again.
Okay.
That man's going to read the closing for us. That man do.
Suggested closing. I'm Bill. In closing, I would like to say that the opinions expressed here were strictly those of the person who gave them. Take what you like and leave the rest. The things you heard were spoken in confidence and should be treated as confidential. Keep them within the walls of this room and the confines of your mind. A few special words to those of you who haven't been with us a long. Whatever your problems, there are those among us who have had them too. If you try to keep an open mind, you will find help. You will come to realize that there is no situation too difficult to be bettered, and no unhappiness too great to be lessened. We aren't perfect. The welcome we give to you may not show the warmth we have in our hearts for you. After a while, you'll discover that though you may not like all of us, you'll love us in a very special way, the same way we already love you. Talk to each other, reason things out with someone else, but let there be no gossip or criticism of one another. Instead, let the understanding, love, and peace in the program grow in you one day at a time. Would all who care to please join me in the Serenity Prayer.
Male, that's cool.
Hi, Andy. I have to say, can I get a practice?